Is your soul ready for the truth? Welcome to ChatCast, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Raw, unfiltered, and authentic. No spiritual or relationship issue is off limits. We discuss everything from sex and consent to equality, grief, death, and the spirit world. Life evolves around relationships. So if you're ready to get right with yourself so you can be right with others, then stay right here because ChatCast is for you. Now, here's your host, spiritual empath, shaman, and multiple award-winning best-selling author, Tracy Dunblazer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to ChatCast. My name is Tracy Dunblazer. I'm a spiritual empath and shaman and an award-winning author. And ChatCast is the spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. And just FYI, that's Charlotte right here. She decided to join us today, so that's going to be exciting. Today's hard topic is loss, coping with loss. And I have always felt that anytime you have to deal with a difficult dynamic in life, to begin to understand it, to break it down into smaller pieces, to look at it from different points of view, is the only way to begin to make inroads to shifting and allowing yourself to grieve whatever, in this case, whatever the loss at hand is, and to begin to find ways to not just move forward, but to process the change that the loss requires. And so the first thing that we've got, we've got a lot of people that have lost enormous beliefs, experiences. They've lost people. They've lost friendships. They've lost their homes. They've lost jobs. They've lost businesses. And then they've lost faith in themselves, in others, in the government, in the world around them. So there are a lot of levels for us to experience loss. And what I'd like for everyone to take a minute to do is to really break down what losses have you experienced? We don't ever just experience one loss at a time. Wouldn't that be great? Just one thing at a time. We could experience it, go through it, move through it. But that never happens. Loss today is layered, right? Because even if you haven't lost any of those things that I just mentioned, there you are surrounded by, you know, a million people who have lost somebody in some way, shape, or form from COVID. Or they've lost something profound in their life, something that is so life altering that it changes how they look at life. It changes how they experience life, and it's going to change how they are in their relationship with you. So really being clear with yourself about what you've lost and your relationship to that thing. What role did it play? You know, what multiple losses do you have going on at the same time? You know, are you experiencing trouble at home or a friendship or a love relationship difficulty or breakup? You know, the divorce rate and breakup rate of marriages and significant relationships over the last 2 years has been profound. It's been up like 30%, as is domestic violence. People are having a very difficult time being with themselves and being with each other. So the first thing that you've got to do is really break down to yourself, what have you lost? What was your relationship to that? What role did it play in your life? And what other things mentally, emotionally, spiritually, or physically are going on concurrently with you? And of course, you would always prioritize that loss as most people just consider when you lose something in the physical world, you lose your job, you lose something that connects you to your daily stability, of course. but that's not the only way that we can lose. And so you prioritize from your physical world down to your spiritual world, and it gives you a clearer view of the multiplicity of the emotions that you may be having around all of this loss. So I want to talk to you today about your loss, about what's going on with you personally. So if you get a moment, please give me a call at 323-203-0815, because this is a call-in show. I want to hear from you. I want you to be a part of the discussion. After you've identified your loss, I want to read you something. And it has to do with, there are three main kinds of loss: personal, community, or cultural, community as in familial, or cultural. Those are the different levels that we can experience loss. And in my book, Conquer Your Karmic Relationships, Heal Spiritual Trauma to Open Your Heart and Restore Your Soul. I know. This is such an important topic to her that she always wants to participate. One of the elements alive in karmic spiritual patterns of genocide and other collective emotional memories of subsequent decades following war and tragedy are the subtleties and seemingly minor decisions made by those alive at the time. It is the collective effects of those minor decisions that create cultural agreements. So I just threw you way into the deep end. But right now we are experiencing a collective cultural agreement. Getting vaccinated or not getting vaccinated. You are aligning with one of those two groups, because you can only be in one or the other. And when you align with whatever your belief system is, you are connecting with a cultural agreement, and you connect yourself with really the success or diminishment of that group. Energetically, emotionally, spiritually, we are all having to recognize the impact that we play within the collective. And it's a really powerful place to be. It's a powerful place to understand that who you are, what you do, how you think, how you feel connects to a group and impacts everybody. Positively, negatively, whatever. Neutrally. Right? But that who you are, what you do, how you think is powerful, and it impacts others in addition to you in ways that you can't really know. That's the thing that we're all experiencing is that we're all making choices that are leading us down a path that we may not have a full understanding of today, and that may bring other, what I call other circles of loss that we have to deal with down the road. In this case, we're talking about karma, and karma is the reactions to an action taken. So it's the ripples in the water as you throw the stone, right? That ripple goes and it pushes more and it pushes more and it pushes more, and it ends up somewhere that you may not be, but others will. And that's essentially the concept that we're talking about here. And I wanted to read this section to you so that you can begin to contemplate what your role in everything is. So understanding karma means being able to recognize the multiple ripples of an event sends out through time and space, and how each of those layers affect each generation based on their specific vantage point. For example, there are several lenses through which we are born into a relationship, into a previous tragedy. Here are a few of the current soul groups and the unique vantage from which they process an event. the current living survivors of the event, the people left to address the geographical space where the event took place or the energy it holds, the friends and family who have experienced a direct loss from the tragedy, people who have experienced an indirect loss from the event, like the shame, grief, guilt, anger, depression, fear, anxiety, and dismay that is created in the collective culture as they all relate to the event, and those who have been reincarnated with the spiritual memory of the event, those in subsequent generations who learn of the event through history books or another person's point of view. So those are a lot of ripples in any collective event. There are a lot of ripples that will impact not only how we live today, but how our children will live moving forward. Give me a call. I want to hear what you have to say about it. 323-203-0816. And we are getting ready. I'm going to talk to you about one more thing. Ah, this is a good one. So that's the collective relationship to loss. But what about the personal loss? Many of us are really experiencing a lot of personal loss. And when we are having our personal traumas happening, it's hard to consider other people. You know, that's just the rough truth about it, is it's hard to consider other people. And one of the things that we have a tendency to do is we have a tendency to compare our lives to others. And we compare our lives to what we believe to be happening by what we witness or what we think we witness. And then we also compare ourselves to what they tell us or what we see on social media, what we witness that is happening with others. We compare our lives to that, and then that either strengthens us or it diminishes us. And that's something really to consider. I have a client who, oh my God, he everything in his life is regimented through the relationship, looking at himself through the lens of other people. And what that means is that he looks at what he has in comparison to what somebody else has, or what they're doing, or what's happening for them in comparison to him. And the truth is, you can't compare yourself to anybody, because nobody else's life, nobody else has the unique constellation of all the different aspects that make you who you are. They don't have your karma. They don't have your patterns. They don't have your innovation and ingenuity to really process those things. So every time you compare yourself to another person and you allow that comparison to make you feel bad, not that I think that comparing yourself to someone who you feel has less and then you feel good about that, I'm not necessarily condoning that as well, but every time you adorn yourself with a negative lens about yourself based on how you see the world outside of you, it's not going to get you where you want to go. It doesn't create a space for you to really challenge yourself. You can only compare yourself to what you did yesterday, what you did this morning, because every new moment that you have is taking you in a whole new direction that's really creating a space based on how you see it, based on what you want. What your point of view is going to take you on the journey that you are intended to go, what you are intended to learn, to experience, to process, to live. That's yours and yours only. There are people who are going to have similar things, but they're never going to be exactly the same. So take that into consideration, and we're going to get ready to go to a commercial break for Master Your Inner World. And when we come back for that, we're going to talk about illness and the loss that people experience when they get a negative diagnosis. So stay tuned.
Are you haunted? Demons know about you. You should know about them. Master your inner world. Embrace your power with joy brings the information that many who suffer spiritual trauma have been waiting for. And the response has been powerful. In this award-winning book, renowned spiritual empath and shaman, Tracy Dunblazer, helps readers understand and gain advantage over spiritual forces and past life influences that impact their lives. Tracy reveals the origin of dark forces and how choices you make will dictate their access to you. Through the tapestry of anecdotes, channelings, and rituals, you will discover your own spiritual awareness and healing power. Master Your Inner World by Tracy Dunblazer. Available where books are sold.
Hi, welcome back to ChatCast. Give me a call at 323-203-0815 if you have something that you'd like to contribute to the conversation. Today we are talking about loss and how to cope with loss. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about, that's Charlotte, just FYI. One of the things that I saw something yesterday that really, really hit home. And it was somebody had a late stage cancer diagnosis. And as she began to process this diagnosis, she realized that all the self-help books out there that she was running into were all, you know, they're meant to be positive and help you. You know, you can control your destiny. You create your life. And all she felt was that all of that only made it feel like her diagnosis was her fault. Her illness was her fault. And I want to bridge that gap, because when we, each of us individually, have our own repetitive patterns. And sometimes those repetitive patterns bring us chronic illness or disease. And absolutely, we impact those patterns through how we nurture ourselves, how we think, how we feel, how we eat, how we take care of our bodies. All of those things have an impact. But they are not the sole reason why a person is afflicted with whatever the issue is for them. So if you're out there suffering with a diagnosis, there is something that you and those around you are gaining from that experience. And it's a power position for you. And sometimes that power position for you is accepting your own mortality. I'm working on a new book coming out in the end of 2022. I'm very excited. It's going to be a book on grief, but that's one of the elements that, you know, we are all living to die unless we are recognizing our mortality on a conscious level. And sometimes we end up in situations or with a diagnosis that teaches us something about ourselves, our lives, our pattern, and allows us the opportunity to complete it in a way that is efficient, right? So when somebody has, like, I personally don't really dig Western medicine. I appreciate Western diagnosis, but I definitely believe the pharmaceutical companies and the medical system here, pretty much everywhere, but the medical system here, especially in America, it's rough. And while there are wonderful people in it and they're doing great work, keeping millions of people alive right now, It's not, there's more to it. There are more layers underneath that we as human beings need to understand about ourselves and our bodies, our emotions, and the complexities of how all of those layers of energy create the body that we live in. And from that standpoint, it may not be someone's karma to get sick and survive. It may not be their karma to get sick and then die from that sickness. We can't judge. We can't compare who we are, what we are, what we do, how we think to that of another person. And that's what I feel when you've been handed down a life altering diagnosis. Sometimes it feels that people are glibly passing down these platitudes of, hey, you know, just think positive. And thinking positive doesn't really help. It may get you through another day, but it doesn't really help you deal with the origins of the patterns that belie everything that you are experiencing. And so the one thing that I feel does is being honest, being radically accepting who you are, where you're at, and what's happening, and giving yourself permission to feel bad about it, to experience your grief, to allow the flow of emotion to move through you, to create a space for a deeper understanding, regardless of what ultimately that will bring. The more we understand, the more we lighten up our circumstance, and the more we can free ourselves from the expectation of living or dying. That was like, oof. But that's something that we have to do is we have to shift our expectation. We, on a spiritual level, this is one thing where I think a lot of people take issue with the self-help world, is that oftentimes we're talking about a spiritual frame of reference, and it's not a physical or emotional frame of reference. There is a general belief system, especially in the metaphysical industry, the spiritual industry, that, and this is non-religious, that we create our circumstances, that we create the life that we have here today, that we created it and we chose it and we are here to participate fully in it. And I believe that's true. I believe that we can have free choice and we can have destiny, meaning we have these main certain things that we come upon, but how we deal with them, what we do with them, and how they impact us over time, we can influence that. We've even just learned that we can actually influence our DNA. So those are important things to know. None of that is helpful necessarily when you're having a diagnosis. So allowing yourself to grieve and giving yourself permission to hear the information that you most need to hear. One of the things that I am witness to on a daily basis is that spirit always puts me in the position of the information that I need at the time that I need it. That's been that way for when I've had, you know, small struggles, and it's been there when I've had huge traumas, that whatever it is that I need to get me through to the next moment, to the next understanding of my path, spirit's going to offer that to me. And so when you are coping with a loss, no matter how big the loss or how small the loss or the illusion of the profundity of that loss, is giving yourself permission to have faith that your universe, your creator, your higher self is going to bring you and show you the information that you need to help you understand what you're doing and why you're doing it. And if there's a chance to change that thing, if that is what is intended by going through it, then you will know it. And if there is no intention to change it, but to fully experience it as it is, then you can embrace that and know it. But either way, at the end of either of those paths is peace. And that's ultimately what we all seek, is to have peace. So I really want to hear from you about this at 323-203-0815. I wanted to look to see. Okay. So one of the other things that really comes up with recognizing your loss, processing the grief, understanding what you've lost, contemplating what will be taking its place. Anytime we lose something, something is removed from our life in a certain way. And so we're creating a void for something else to come in. And so putting energy and focus to have a better understanding of that is important. But how can you contribute to that process positively? And what that positively doesn't mean that you're happy all the time. Positively means that you are always moving forward and growing. Isn't that a different perspective on being positive? It's about moving forward and it's about growing, expanding your own wisdom, your own heart. And sometimes sadness, sorrow, depression, crying, laughing, your heart busting wide open is a part of that process. But whatever it is that you need to bring you even an inch in a new direction. That's the other thing, is I feel people get really hung up on the expectation of, well, I cried once about it, so that should be it. You know, whatever it is that you need to do to process your loss, whatever it is for you, whatever the multiple levels of it are for you, is what you need to do for it. That's what you need to do. It's not comparable to what another person needs to do. So you can take information from others, and if it's appropriate for you to receive the opinions of others, then do that. But there are going to come times where boundaries are your friends. Setting boundaries with people, being honest with them where you're at, what you need, what you want, and what you will and won't tolerate, what you can and cannot accept from them. You know, sometimes we go through periods of time where we really need to protect our energy. And sometimes having somebody put us in conflict with our belief system causes more strife and doesn't create a space for any healing to take place. And that's something to really think of right now, because everybody is having dueling beliefs. Should I do this? Should I do that? What's right and what's wrong? Every person has what is right for them, and there is what is right for the collective. There is absolutely what is right for the collective, but what is right for the collective may not be what is right for you. And to get into a massive, hurtful, you know, ignorant, hateful debate about it may be the exact thing that just can't happen, because it doesn't leave any space for any healing or moving an inch in any direction. So I really want y'all to consider that when you think about how you express yourself on social media, how you acknowledge other people, how you communicate with other people, how you communicate about other people. You know, we are all extra sunburnt right now. That's a term I use that's a reference to being emotionally sensitive. We are deeply layer after layer after layer emotionally overwhelmed. Whether it's conscious or unconscious, it's happening for all of us, not just a few of us. Nobody's really getting out of this. We are all in it together. And important for that it will fall on a closed heart You know, how important, how valuable is it to give away your time and energy to a situation that will not reap any rewards of any form, whether healing for yourself or another? You know, sometimes we create conversations or debates with people because we want to feel good about ourselves. We want to feel powerful. We want to feel empowered. And feeling empowered is important, but feeling empowered at the expense of someone else when there isn't a life-threatening situation happening, it's not always the way to go. So we're going to talk more about that when we come back after this ad for Conquer Your Karmic Relationships. Stay tuned.
Your karma got you down? Claim your history, own your power, and change your life. In this groundbreaking book, Tracy Dunblazer takes an in-depth look at your karmic relationships and repetitive patterns that position you in life. This 10-time award-winning best-selling book will inspire change in you. You'll learn all the ways to reveal, accept, forgive, and transform your relationships on every level, not only to your soulmates and romantic relationships, but how you relate to food, money, family, culture, religion, sex, death, and your environment. Conquer your karmic relationships. Heal spiritual trauma to open your heart and restore your soul. We'll help you unearth the very core of what drives you, showing how to direct its power into usable, life-giving resources. Through radical acceptance, learn how to recognize your karmic relationships and love yourself and the life you have right now. Pick up a copy of Conquer Your Karmic Relationships anywhere books are sold.
Hi, welcome back to ChatCast. So, how many of you out there feel isolated and alone in your loss? That's a big one. Give us a call at 323-203-0815 if you would like to tell us about it, if you have a question for me. But the next thing I wanted to address, our final excursion into loss. And what a fine time we've had. I know I have. Is what do you need? What do you need to process your loss? We need compassion. We need patience. Most of all, we need honesty. We need to know how we feel. You know, that's a, you know, a lot of people have, they feel a lot, but don't necessarily have the words to break down or at least communicate to another person how they really feel. So how do you do that? How do you get that? The way I get it, the way I do it is I sit down, I'll get up in the morning, or if I'm going through something and I'm really upset and I'm finding that my heart is hurting, like physically hurting, or my stomach is hurting, and I keep thinking about it, I write it down. I write, if I need to have a conversation with somebody telepathically, I write it down on paper. I'm feeling this way because you said this and I said that and I feel this way. Being able to write down how you feel to yourself, it brings that energy into the physical world, which gives it room to move out of you. And to create a space for you to get a deep, not only a deeper understanding, but an opportunity to release yourself from the conflict and the struggle of whatever it is that you are feeling. And that is the first thing to do to stop feeling isolated, is to understand yourself. The more you understand yourself, the more you're going to energetically be open. I've seen people in grief feel like they are alone and they are surrounded by tons of people who love and care for them, but they see that they are alone. They then become more and more paranoid that people are going against them. And then they lash out and actually create that thing that wasn't happening until they began to lash out. And grief And that amount of pain that we feel when we are grieving based on whatever the loss is and our relationship to that loss. Again, remember, your relationship to a specific loss may not be the other person's relationship to that even that same loss. So whatever relationship to that loss that you have, you process that and you have a relationship to it. And once you see it and own it, it gives you an opportunity to break out of being isolated in it. It is a truth that everybody grieves how they're going to grieve. And they experience things to the depths that they do, which may differ from other people. But no matter, you are never alone if you don't want to be. Because even if you are alone, there's nobody around you physically, there are many loving, angelic, spiritual beings who are present for you if you will allow them to be present in your life. Ask for their communication. Ask for their understanding. Ask for the witnessing of their presence. Right? We really do have the life and the experience that we want. And that is no truer. I don't know if this makes sense. No truer than when you are feeling devastated. But when you are feeling awful, when you are feeling bad, when you're feeling self-pity, when you're feeling guilt or shame for whatever it is that you are going through and your relationship to that thing, whatever that loss is, you are more empowered in it than you know. So you can make choices that help you. And sometimes those choices don't include other people. Sometimes we have to go through it on our own, but make no mistake about it. There is no circumventing a loss. People think, oh, you know, I'll compartmentalize my grief and I'll stuff down the tears and the anger and the frustration. And they think they stuff it down, but they don't stuff it down. It goes somewhere else and creates something else. So you have to process your grief. You have to process your loss, and you have to, you can certainly take it at a pace that works for you. But you've got to finish what you start. Whether it takes days, weeks, months, or years, or lifetimes. There are people who will grieve. Something is so profound to them that they will not complete their grief in a lifetime. And that's okay. Whatever somebody's path is what they're doing. If they come across you, you have to, you've got to set boundaries in a loving way so that you can be at peace in witness to their process. Isn't that interesting? Being at peace in witnessing somebody else's process. What do you guys think of that? Give me a call at 323-203-0815. And let me see, there was one other thing that I wanted to bring up. What? Oh, that's what it was. Hold 1 minute. So this is in talking about grieving and boundaries with your friends, family, loved ones. Oftentimes we relate to them as, you know, in friendship or obligation. And then sometimes we just naturally are a healing type of person and we want to help. So being a friend is not being a healer, and being a healer is not being a friend. Those are two different things. So have a conversation with yourself if you have a lot of people around you who are going through a lot and want to talk to you about it, and whether or not, how much time, energy, and wherewithal you have to hear what they need to talk about. Because trust me, if you're not prepared to help them or be with them on their journey, they're going to appreciate you more later because you told them so. It might be hurtful. It might be uncomfortable. They might feel sad about it, but they can move away from you and move towards somebody who can be that person for them. There is no shame in saying, no, I do not have it for you. So, are you a friend or a healer? This comes from Conquer Your Karmic Relationships. A friend says what you want to hear. A healer tells you what you need to hear. There are times in our lives where the circumstances are set up for us to experience a loss completely on our own. It's truly one of the most amazing experiences to have worked through a loss or problem for yourself. When we bring others into our grief, we are sharing our grief with them. They share in processing the grief we have. It's an enormous job to put on someone, but one of the greatest acts of love and trust that two people can share in any relationship. So these are a few things that you can do if you are a friend and you want to help. You can actively listen and respond with empathy and compassion. Offer to participate in distracting activities like hiking, shopping, movies, or a visit to the spiritual place of their choice. And some of those you can do today. You can help your friend with their responsibilities, such as house cleaning, car maintenance, food preparation, or anything else that may get swept under the rug in times of grief. Or you can do something thoughtful, send a funny text message, share funny videos, get them a card or their favorite candy, or show up on a lunch break with their favorite venti quadruple half calf with organic almond milk, extra soy, whipped cream, and cinnamon. You get the point. whatever they like. If you're a healer and they want your help, that's a big deal. Are you helping somebody who actually wants your help? They may say they want your help, or they may say they want help, but maybe they don't want help from you. And that has to be okay with you. You're not a good friend or a caring healer if you make it about you. Their grief, their healing is about them. And any assistance they garner from you has got to be at their behest. So you can listen, digest, reflect, and then give your opinion. If you've known them a long time, offer perspective on the part of their journey that you've witnessed. Encourage them to treat themselves kindly and with respect. Times like these bring out the inner addict. Whatever you do, don't criticize, and under no circumstances is it helpful. If your friend has a tendency to self-medicate with anything, do your best to be present and offer other options that can take the place of drinking, smoking, or doing drugs. If your friend does have substance issues that bring you concern, consider where your values lie. Are you going to be involved and invested in the relationship or take a stand by not participating in the relationship? Ultimately, it's imperative to be honest. However, your honesty in this circumstance may possibly end your friendship for a period of time. Staying involved and offering consistent, loving alternate options may be the way to go, depending on the severity of the situation. So when we experience loss, and that's another thing that's really happened in the pandemic, if, you know, woo, people are tipping it back. They're smoking a lot more, drinking a lot more, doing a lot more of everything, a lot more. And because idle hands sometimes are, you know, the devil's conference, right? And being stuck at home, it's really easy to have access and to use the ploy of celebration or enjoyment or change, celebrating change. But the truth is, you know, if you out there have an alcohol problem or a drug problem, this may have been a really difficult time, and you may be living with people who are having these experiences. So you want to really be willing to think through the possible impacts of your choices before you make them. You know, it's whatever choice you make, it should never be about what you feel is the righteous thing to do, or the way in which you judge them for what they are doing or not doing. Judging someone else is not helpful. It just kind of gives you an idea of what you want and need and where you're at. But it's not helpful to someone else. Trust me, they're well aware of their faults. They know exactly, you know, that's why they're drinking and drugging. Because they're bored, they're aggravated, and they are hurt and in pain. So decide who you want to be in the process of somebody else's loss, and be loving enough and compassionate enough to set boundaries for whatever that thing is. You know, if you have a certain amount of time that you're willing to offer to the cause, then do that and be clear about it. You know, if you don't have any time, then say, I'm really sorry. I love you, but I don't have time today. You know, there's always going to be other options. There will always be other options. They let go of you. They can be open to the people who can really be there to help them. So we've got just a couple more minutes. Give me a call at 323-203-0815. And since I kind of came to the end of my stuff, what I wanted to talk to you about today, I think that I'm going to choose something. Oh, this is fun. I'm just going to read you a nice little ditty about overcoming blame. There's a lot of blame going on right now. The essence of blame has a powerful purpose within our karmic experiences. Blame brings our awareness to the origins of any spiritual or real world trauma that we may be carrying. The stronger the desire to blame another or yourself for an occurrence, the more you desire on a subliminal level to grieve and move forward. When there is a need for release, if there are obstacles for you in grieving, like believing grief is weakness or inappropriate in some way, or simply feeling uncomfortable with the process, the natural path is to transfer the pain or rage onto something outside of yourself through blame. So that's a little ditty for you to think about. I do want to say I'm so grateful that you tuned in to this today, and you are welcome to reach out to me at on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube. I'm Go Tracy at Instagram and YouTube, and I am Tracy Dunblazer Spiritual Empath on Facebook. And then you can go to tracydunblazer.com. That's TracyDunblazer.com. You can find access to all of my books and oracle decks and everything that's going on. I really appreciate you tapping into ChatCast and being a part of the conversation and taking it forward. Take this conversation forward to your friends, your family, your loved ones, because the more we all know, the better we're all going to be for each other. So thank you.
You've been listening to ChatCast with Tracy Dunblazer, the award-winning spiritual podcast that takes on all the hard topics. Join us next time for more in-depth conversations about life and relationships. Thanks for listening.